Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome to the end of the weekend.
Please don't let today be Monday. Please don't let today be Monday. Please, 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 please don't let today be Monday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe.
And then what followed was bad, even by Monday standards.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB. If you want to call the show, you can do so at 913-3810-810. We have been all across the board today, and we've got one more hour to wrap it up. If you want to chime in on anything from the Royals to the Chiefs to sports and politics, which I'm sure a lot of you are absolutely thrilled to try to introduce on your Sunday morning.
Stick to sports, Josh.
I actually have a huge problem with that phrase, and I also have at least some level of understanding. And I think this is also the exact kind of understanding that I just would ask that you have with me. Try to understand each other here. Because first of all, my initial thought is, and my true thought really is, no one sticks to anything. Like, unless you only eat green beans, you understand why I am not going to only talk about sports. And there are some people that I think are sort of like that. Like, I don't know, I don't get the feeling that like Mike Francesa really loves like art and politics. There's some people who like don't care about music. They just are always consuming politics. Or they're always consuming sports. They're always consuming like a sports talk radio. You know, they've never heard a musical note. I'm definitely not that type of person. And most people aren't that type of person. And for me, at least whenever I'm looking at like athletes, I want to get the full person. Because I don't really want to hear Laurent Duvernay-Tardif talk about a hand placement, talk about optimal hand placement to deal with defensive linemen in the NFL. I'd much rather hear about what he thinks about his most interesting story from med school. That's just more interesting, like, as a conversation to me. We can talk about the Chiefs offensive line. I'm happy to do that, but I don't want to only do that. But I think I understand where you're coming from if you're saying, listen, I want you to stick to sports right now because I'm listening to you for the sports portion of my meal. I'm coming to you for the sports. I'll go to CNN later for my politics. And I'm going to pop in my headphones later on and listen to whatever I listen to for my music.
Alternative facts.
Dang it, Charlie. I'm trying to be understanding. Kellyanne Conway does not foster understanding. I'd rather get the full person in the context if we're talking about, you know, anything from Colin Kaepernick to how Ja Reed had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker last year. I was a part of an effort to get him on a radio show with us last year, and that never happened. Much to my chagrin, because I would have loved to have talked to him about that. I think that's interesting. I would talk to LDT about med school more than I would talk to him about defense dealing with, you know, big fat guys who would try to run him over. But again, if you come to me and say, hello, Sports Radio 810, I want sports from you. And then I'll go get my music elsewhere, my politics elsewhere. I understand. I'm just probably not going to do that. Like, even if I really, really tried, I don't think I would do it very well. Because I enjoy being a more, like, versatile person than that. Not everybody has to be that way. It's just sort of how I am. And ideally, my favorite radio shows and my favorite radio personalities are people who color outside the lines and then don't particularly apologize for it. Some of my favorite shows, whenever I first started, the first podcast I ever listened to consistently was the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast through ESPN with Matthew Berry and Nate Ravitz. And now Matthew Berry is like this enormous fantasy football guide. But that podcast was like the start of it. And they would have entire segments at the end of the show. They would get through all the fantasy stuff and they would just like play an air horn and say, "Nothing but nonsense from here on. We're going to talk to Daisy Fuentes." Like, what? Why? It's a fantasy football podcast. Whatever. Fine. And it was great. Because they were unapologetically their own characters presented in a way that I grew to love. Then I did that with Tony Kornheiser's show. And now it's a podcast. But whenever he was on in Washington, it was him and like a cast of his friends. And they would talk about Washington traffic. And then the Nats. And then politics, and then national sports. Whatever was most noteworthy to Kornheiser on that particular day, they would talk about. And I'm telling you, it was always a good show. Now I listen to Dan Le Batard's show on a daily basis. And it comes around the same way. It's a show about whatever Dan wants to talk about, or wherever that crew of people go. A producer mentioned something, they chase down that rabbit trail. And I love that. I think to me, that's kind of the peak of radio. And even here at 810, I think most people tune in because they want to hear Nate and Steven. They want to hear Saran. They want to hear Kevin. Now, there is definitely an element of sometimes you just want to hear sports talk. I get it. But as my tastes in sports talk radio have evolved, I've been able to do that less and less. I mentioned earlier in the show, whenever I was driving here this morning, I was listening to a little bit of the show that was on here nationally in the morning, the morning show with Stu Gatz and Mike Golic Jr. They're doing playing an interview back with Hank Azaria, and I've heard Hank Azaria interviewed already like this week, so I didn't care for that, so I went and listened to them on that ESPN in Kansas City, 99.3 FM and 1510 AM. And it was some NBC national radio, and they were talking about the Final Four in a way that was just very dry and unimaginative. And I just don't really have much of an appetite for that anymore. And sometimes, especially during like the heat of a season, of a local sports season, then I have been known to just go, I'm just going to turn on 810, whatever time it is, doesn't matter, and I'm going to see what they're saying about the Chiefs losing last night. There are things like that that will get you to turn it on, but I think if you're tuning in early April, if you're listening to sports radio in early April, it's not that you're not getting enough sports. There's not that much currently going on to consume outside of a Final Four without any real ties to teams that you know that well. You know North Carolina, but if you're not a North Carolina fan, then there's kind of a detachment. We went over that earlier, and I think that tends to be true. So what do you tune in for? You want to hear Sarin give Curtis a bunch of bleep. And you want to be entertained. The first letter of ESPN stands for entertainment. And that actually, this all happened because Charlie told me to stick to sports sarcastically. Thank you, Charlie, for doing that. Because I didn't know what I was going to talk about this segment. And this is working out perfectly. There was something last week that I want to talk about. We ran out of time. And it's very similar to this conversation. What I'm talking about right now is what is, like, sports radio to you? What is sports television to you? question I was going to ask last week was, what are sports to you? What do you want and what do you get from sports? You're listening now. We're all sports fans. But why? Why is that? Like, Charlie, if you had to, I just need like an example. If you had to say, like, why do you like sports? I'll give you my thoughts. You don't have to give me a soliloquy. You look terrified right now. Charlie doesn't have a good answer. That's fine. I think a lot of people would say, you know, it's an escape. It's a fun escape from reality, which is why some people fight against, you know, bringing politics into sports or whatever. But it's just, it's fun. It's a break. It's maybe it's a community. It's a community event. It's where you have pride in Kansas City whenever the Royals or the Chiefs are good. It's unifying. For me, the first word is that it's fun. It's entertainment. But we put rules on sports entertainment that we don't put on other types of entertainment. That's very strange. And there are a couple of places where I have a really hard time getting it equated properly. The World Baseball Classic showed this, and the NFL shows this all the time. There's a Deadspin article that said the World Baseball Classic was baseball as it's going to be. There was this like soccer atmosphere in the crowds. It was like this kind of this crazy constant energy through a baseball game. Whenever the Latin teams were playing, that we never see in like Major League Baseball. There were shoulder shimmies after strikeouts, Johnny Cueto style. There were criticisms of the style. I can't remember who it was. Some player for Team USA was being critical of the Dominican Republic team or the Puerto Rican team or something, saying, you know, don't pimp out your home runs. This is a game, but it's a business. This is fun, but it's a business. And then it might have been like Adam Eaton. I don't know. Don't quote me on Adam Eaton. But and then he hit a home run later and just like trotted around the bases methodically. Like, look at me having fun very sternly. I'm very serious about my game. And I don't know how you could have watched the World Baseball Classic and not been like electrified by that energy and by that atmosphere that was built around a baseball game. And we do it for soccer. You say, well, baseball is a long game. It's a slow game. We do it for soccer in Kansas City. If you've been to a sporting game, go sometime and just like look in the cauldron. People are losing it, losing their minds for 90 straight minutes. And now forgive me. Like, I know that this is like 10% of the listening audience is going to think this is ridiculous, but soccer, at least to me, isn't intrinsically hugely interesting. And like, it has great moments. But you can cut out like 20-minute chunks. And to me, to my untrained eye, I'm not missing much, you know? But man, that energy in the stadium is tremendous. Baseball can be like that. You can cut out 20, 30 minutes of it, but you can cut out 6 innings of some baseball games. And to someone who's not, you know, appreciating a great pitching performance, you're not missing anything. But the energy from the World Baseball Classic makes every pitch interesting. It makes it a playoff atmosphere. But we assign a type of stoicism to baseball in this country that is just sort of confusing to me. And we to some extent, we also do it. We also do it to football. Whenever we're like, excuse me, no dancing. No dancing in the end zones. You scored? No. No dancing. No gesturing for the first down. No. Hand the ball to the referee and go back to the huddle. And I used to get that. I used to be like, yeah, of course, just get a touchdown, hand the ball to the ref, shake a hand, get back to the huddle, go do it again. But you're playing a game. Do you do that like if you play video games or board games or whatever? Do you force yourself to play the entire thing in a completely like emotionless way? Or your job, if you're going to say, well, it's because it's their job. Do you try to suck the emotion and the fun out of your job? Why do it to their job? Why do it to a game, a job that's also a game? I just don't totally get it. And this is, I'm going to go here and we're going to figure out afterwards if this is a bad idea or not. Johnny Cueto was this type of energy person. Johnny Cueto, when he was on, would throw in the little shoulder shimmy mid wind up. When he was good, you guys loved it. Whenever he got hit, it was, all right, Johnny, let's go ahead and straighten out those shoulders. This is American baseball. We're USA, USA. Pretend like you're not having fun. But the place where this is most striking to me, and it was at the time, was with Yordano Ventura. And I was made immediately uncomfortable by the revisionism that we were doing after Ventura died. In the minutes, hours, days, weeks after Ventura died in the car accident, people were talking about Yordano in a way that they had never talked about him before. Talking about how, you know, he had this great energy and he was fiery and he had that great passion. And there were a whole lot of people who were not saying that whenever he was actually playing. For the record, I don't have like a face in mind for that, truly. I really don't. I didn't hear everything said before and after Ventura's death. I don't have like a particular axe that I'm grinding namelessly. But I know that there was this perpetual like disdain for a guy who had too much energy on the mound. He was too wild. He was having too big of an emotional swing from pitch to pitch. But we always eulogize, you know, in a way that we just appreciated every single thing that person did. I always loved it. Always. I love it with Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce has made some dumb mistakes. Travis Kelce has cost the Chiefs yards, points, games? I don't know, depending on how far you take the points, I guess. His attitude, his fiery nature, the way that he treats it like a game and a show, has cost the team. That's in a way that Ventura never did, for the record. There was never a penalty assessed for Ventura just like having emotion coming off of the mound. But it was just so frustrating. Watching after Ventura died, and then also, I guess, kind of hearing the revision then, and then but after Ventura just would like leave games. If he was pitching well, he would leave the mound and show some emotion, and we'd be like, yeah, look at that, a fiery, that's our pitcher. But if he showed that kind of emotion after, you know, getting taken out, after giving up a home run, it's, uh-oh, he's coming unglued. He's emotionally fragile. It really bothers me that we revise what we thought of that kind of attitude. And we do it all the time. And we're going to keep doing it as far as sports and sports media and what's allowed to be fun and what's not allowed to be fun. why can't you let the game be a game? Why can't Bill Walton do the color commentary? I'm sure I'm guilty somewhere too, but if you do enough introspection, you're eventually going to find the place whenever you become the grouchy old guy who hates the fun. It's everywhere. You don't have to do it in every case to go, oh, I did do it there. But it can be, you know, the World Baseball Classic, just too much emotion for exhibition games. Johnny Cueto, too much shimmying without having every pitch be perfect. Travis Kelce, too much emotion. It's always somewhere. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. I'm willing to hear another perspective. But as I've become more and more well acquainted with my own preferences in sports and in sports media and the way we talk about sports, the more secure I think I've become and firm I've become in what I believe and what I consume and why I do it that way. So, but I'm willing to hear another perspective if you've got one. 913-3810-810. Whenever we come back, I think we'll probably go to the Royals, but maybe Charlie will give me three more words to launch another 20-minute segment. Thank you, Charlie.
This is Sports Sunday.
Alternative Facts.
With Joshua Briscoe.
The Earth is flat.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Gotta be down because I want it all.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Charlie Carlin playing the throwbacks today. Two bits of news. Jorge Soler has been placed on the 10-day DL, and the Royals opening day roster is set. Peter Moylan is up. Terrence Gore replaces Jorge Soler. The opening roster now, this is via KansasCityInc.com. Lineup goes Gordon, Moustakas, Kane, Hosmer, Perez, Moss at DH, Orlando in right field, Escobar, and Mondesi rounding it up. The bench being Butera, Cuthbert, Gore, and Colon. The rotation, Duffy, Kennedy, Hamill, Vargas, Carnes. Bullpen, Herrera, Soria, Strom, Minor, Wood, Young, Moylan, Soler, Hunter Dozier, and Brian Flynn all on the DL. News updates. Charlie, you said something during the break. What did you say during the break that was so interesting? Oh, no, we can't. Oh, Tommy Mo wanted us to follow up on our... Yes, Tommy Mo wanted us to follow up on our promise last week to talk about WrestleMania, which, of course, we will do. I spent most of last segment looking up at this television in front of me on ESPN that had John Cena and some female wrestler who was, I think, unfairly dressed much less well than John Cena was. It's ridiculous. Get your fun out of my sports.
Much less well.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to say it, how I meant it, without saying it how I meant it. I think there's a double standard there. But I actually almost mentioned it during the last segment. Anyway, without the prompting of Tommy Mo, because I think it's another example of WrestleMania, not for me. Really, I don't care. I really don't care at all. But I also don't care that ESPN is spending some time on it. Whatever. If that's something that your audience is consuming and it's a good business move for you to spend 20 minutes on WrestleMania today, because I guess it's tonight. Is it tonight? Is WrestleMania tonight? I'm guessing it's tonight. I don't know why else they would be doing it today. Whatever. It's the day between the Final Four games and the championship game. You want to spend 10 minutes of your 24-hour news cycle on ESPN123.com, Deportes, whatever. You want to spend 15 minutes of that time on WrestleMania because it's fun and people like it, go for it, man. That's fine with me. I'm not going to watch it. but I'm not going to get mad about it. If you want to call into the show, the phone number is 913-3810-810. Let's go to the phones. JT, you're on Sports Sunday. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call in because it seemed like, I don't know, like you were eulogizing the world today. It was very sad and depressing every time I listened to the show.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the Jayhawks failure in the Elite Eight again cast you in a bad light. But that was one part of it. The other piece I wanted to ask about is the Missouri recruiting class. Have you guys been seeing what's happening there?
Yeah, that's somehow the brightest spot in local sports, is that Missouri seems like they're going in a tremendous direction. Did you have something on it you wanted to bring to light?
Well, the fact that they might get this Kevin Knox kid in seems sort of amazing to me.
He's the guy from Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they got another top 10 kid potentially in the same class, and the rumor is that the Tillman kid out of St. Louis, even though he's still committed to Illinois, could pull the plug on his commitment.
Interesting. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's people in East St. Louis that believe that Quanzo Martin has the pull to pull it off. But if that happened, I mean, where would Missouri's class be ranked if you had a number one, a number nine, and a number 21 kid in the class?
JT, thanks for the call. I don't know if I can rank it, but what I can say is I was talking about this week, actually, is I think that makes Mizzou an immediate tournament contender. Immediately. Now you can look at LSU and say, well, this is a team with no pieces, and then they got Ben Simmons, and then they still were bad, still missed the tournament types of bad. But if you're going to do it, and you're going to pick a conference to do it in, the SEC is not a bad one. I think Mizzou, especially, I mean, I thought this maybe just with Michael Porter Jr., but if they can bring in this guy from Tampa, if there's any chance to pull the verbally committed recruit from Illinois and continue to puff this class up even more, I think you have to start considering Mizzou to be a top 50 team. Now, you know, it's got to be top 50 or better than that because you're dealing with all these automatic bids. And if you're trying to think tournament, and I think tournament now has to be the way that you're measuring what you expect from this season. But that in and of itself is incredible. If you are saying right now Mizzou's level of success, you know, let me give you a number, like with a top five, top 10 recruiting class, maybe I'm probably closer to top five. You're bringing in whatever JT said, like 1-9-11 or 1-5-11, whatever he said. You're now judging the class based off whether or not you make the tournament or not. If you're doing this season with Kim Anderson and none of those recruits, and you say he's going to make the NIT next year, you're probably saying, well, it's a big step forward. But now with Martin at the helm, Michael Porter being a guy that has potentially team-changing talent, and now also has the pull to try to bring other top-level talent to Mizzou, Quanzo Martin ought to be saying to these guys, listen, we've got Porter. We've got Michael Porter Jr. Come spend 1 year with us. Man, he ought to be trying to make kids think that they're going to be Kentucky. And, man, if Mizzou could become Kentucky Light, you would take that in a heartbeat. Don't for 1 second fight the idea of hedging your bets on a ton of one-and-dones. No. Go do it. Whatever it takes to get you out of that cellar. So you get a year of three top 12 recruits, get yourself to the tournament, and you start becoming a home for the one-and-dones that don't get to one of those top-level schools, well, then eventually one of those guys is going to say, I don't want to go be the fourth guy on Kentucky. I want to be the first guy on Mizzou with some actual talent behind me also. It's a really interesting way for the program to potentially go. To say we're going to try to become Kentucky Light, we're going to just try to build on these one and dones. If we can develop some talent behind them, some 3 or 4 year guys, fantastic. You know, you get a guy who can actually develop. I'm not going to say Frank Mason, but you get a Devontae Graham-ish type of guy to develop over 4 years. behind some of these one-and-done talents, you get a point guard who can help have some experience and distribute among all these scorers for Mizzou in the future, then all of a sudden the entire fate of the program has totally changed immediately. I mean, what an incredible turnaround that you could potentially have on your hands there. And that's the power of having a good head coach and one star player. Because if you want to attract top talent, start off by having top talent. Going to LSU didn't hurt Ben Simmons' draft stock any, obviously. But it damaged his public perception. And I would say he spent most of that season just treading water. He didn't lose money based off spending that year as the only basketball player on LSU. But he didn't make himself look any better. And I'm guessing he didn't have a whole ton of fun. Top rate education, of course, but if you can bring in talent to bring in talent, that's how you completely change a program. Not just have a good year, but totally change a program. There's a reason that the same teams are good all the time. It's not just because they have booster money. I mean, KU is a well-funded program, to be sure. But you build by building what you've already got. And usually that process takes a really long time. Usually rebuilding a decrepit program means hiring Brad Underwood, and then he lifts Oklahoma State up two spots, and then two spots, and then one spot, and then maybe you're contending for a conference title. Konzo Martin is looking to say, we're going to go from one of the worst teams in college basketball to a tournament contender in like an hour. You're going to get me. We're going to get Michael Porter Jr. We're going to bring in some other talent around him. He's going to elevate the guys we already have. And we're just going to fill this team up with whatever talent is currently available. And really, if I was in Mizzou shoes, I would say bleep next year. Bleep the year after next year. Man, I'm going to go get one and done. I'm going to make those one and done's look good. They're going to get drafted high. We're going to make the tournament. And we're going to keep doing that until somebody says we can't anymore. Smaller schools get these one-and-done guys not all the time, but plenty frequently. I mean, Washington's going to have the number one overall pick this year. Why can't Mizzou establish itself as one of the smaller homes for talent to come in for a year, the year they have to spend, and then go get drafted? I think that's absolutely a space in college sports, in college basketball, that Mizzou can step in and fill. I think you got to be thrilled if you're a Mizzou fan. On the other hand, we have your Kansas State Wildcats, who have said publicly that we're getting year six, I believe, of Bruce Weber. Is that right? Charlie just mouthed, has it been that long? I think you're going to be surprised, to be honest. It hasn't felt like 6 years because you're a KU fan, Charlie. That's the guess I'm going to lay down while you try to figure it out for sure. However many years he's been there, it's felt like decades, and it's going to be another decade next season. K-State, they did the thing that I told you they were going to have to do. Because I said by winning a play-in game and nothing else, to fire Bruce Weber would be reasonable, judging the sample size that he's had at K-State, what we've seen from him in recent years, and the low expectations you must have for him going into the future. To fire him would have been totally justifiable, but to keep him would not be automatic. To keep Bruce Weber would have meant to announce that you were keeping Bruce Weber. And that's exactly what K-State did. They were keeping Bruce Weber. Move on along. Charlie, did you figure out how long he's been at K-State?
Yes, it's going to be his sixth year.
All right, going on year six of Bruce Weber.
And that last win that he got against Wake?
Yeah.
His 100th at K-State.
Mamma mia. I mean, what
is
a
record
doing?
Of 168 at K-State.
Say that again?
168.
Okay, great. You're over 500. With Frank Martin's players. I mean, I just don't know. Go ahead.
Speaking of Frank Martin, I like how he's just been like the media darling and
yeah,
like
man,
the nicest
great.
Guy and all that sort of stuff. But everyone around here knows him as just a crazy person.
Winning will do that to you.
Would just get this crazy look in his eyes when he's screaming at it. I mean, I know he still does
he still does that, but
yeah, he's just like, oh, his comments in the post game, loves his players.
Whenever Bill Self goes to coach Oklahoma State. Or Illinois, or the Spurs. Whenever he leaves for literally any reason, because Tyler Self is gone now, so he's a free man. Whenever Bill Self goes to coach the Spurs, we'll say, and Greg Marshall refuses to leave Wichita State because he is the king of Wichita, I hope the next call that KU makes is for Frank Martin. I mean, that'd be amazing. Can you imagine how fantastic that would be? Just keep rubbing K-State's nose in it.
Deese Hayes, as the kids say.
It would be a Deese Hayes, indeed. I don't hate K-State. I would love for K-State to be good. This would all be way more fun if K-State was good. But I'm just upset with them right now. Because they've just done this so wrong. They were afraid to fire Bruce Weber. But if his contract, say, would have ended this year... There's no chance they would have like given him an extension after the tournament. Even 1 year. Say, hey, my contract's up. I'll take a 1 year deal if you give it to me. They'd say, no, man, sorry, pack it up, walk. We're not coming in. We're not paying for a new year of the Bruce Weber experiment. But they were also too afraid to cut the ties. And I think it's very telling what is acceptable. At the three schools now, the three D1 basketball teams in the area. KU makes an Elite Eight, and it's a loss, and it's not good enough, but at the same time, there are plenty of KU fans saying they tried their best. So there's some of them, but for the most part, you know, KU gets an Elite Eight, and it's not good enough. Mizzou, after a year of horrific, despicable basketball. They fire their coach. Then they go spend a ton of money to give Quanzo Martin 7 years, which turns into Michael Porter Jr. and maybe a couple other top-level recruits building a program. What about K-State? They want a playing game. That's good. They made it into the first round of the tournament. Nice. So, I mean, if you're in Manhattan, like, you know what's good enough. You know the standard. It has been set. And it is low. But hey, man, maybe this should be better. This is Sports Sunday.
This is Sports Sunday with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, the final segment. I'm Josh Briscoe. You can tweet me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. Got one tweet today that said, less Fall Out Boy, more Blink-182. We could have done that. Charlie was playing the Killers instead. That also made me happy. Also, I was thinking during the break about how JT said that today has been kind of a downer show. It's been kind of depressing every day. Like I've been eulogizing the world. And let's recount the show briefly. I've been taking notes of what we went through each hour because I podcast. If you want to listen to anything that you missed today, it will be on the 810 website, the podcast section. Go to 810WHB.com, go to additional programming, and then or podcast additional programming, and then go find your Sports Sunday hours. Hour one, my summary was KU fans hate me. The Final Four is kind of boring. Criticism is okay, and the Royals are Mario. Hour two, analytics, the offensive line, science, Tyreek Hill, politics and sports, and Patrick Mahomes might not be good. And then hour three was why stick to sports? Why does sports have to be dull? Mizzou is doing good, and now whatever the segment ends up being. Baseball is 11 minutes from starting. That's exciting if you like baseball. The Royals start tomorrow, starting at 3 o'clock here on 810. We have like a best of Royals off-season show with some of the best interviews as of late here on 810. So that'll be starting at 3 o'clock today. In case you missed it earlier, Jorge Soler was put on the 10-day DL. Paulo Orlando is expected to start in right field tomorrow for the Royals. The opening day roster is also set. Peter Moylan was added. Terrence Gore replacing Jorge Soler on the roster, according to KansasCity.com. I'm not opposed to, like, preseason record prediction, but the feeling that I get from the Royals right now, also in a sport as random as baseball with, like, I mean, I guess maybe not as random, but as long as baseball, where all of these games can all be decided on such a tiny whim, but ultimately huge numbers of games can, you know, show the difference between teams. I wish that the Royals hadn't gone 500 last year so I could make them go 500 this year. But I just have a hard time seeing right now, seeing this team as a 90-win team. But also, if I was going to tell you that they're like a 70-win team, you maybe you could at least find some solace in the idea of selling at the trade deadline. And that's when this season is going to really get interesting. Please hear me. I hope the Royals are good. I hope they're 10 games over halfway through the year. And it's, well, no, we got to try to win it again this year. We got to push. Maybe you try to extend Eric Hosmer and you let Moustakas play it out. I hope that's where we end up, but right now I'm not expecting that from the Royals. And what I'm really expecting by just trying to be objective and looking at what I see in this lineup and in this rotation and in the bullpen, I see a team that wins 85 games. The problem with that is if they're right around that pace halfway through the season, there are going to be some really, really difficult decisions to be made among an organization. Because there will be riots if you try to ship out guys on a 500 team. So what are you doing? You're throwing in the towel halfway through the year because you're 500? This team can improve and can close out. But if you get to the end of the season, you've got all of your guys still, and you miss the playoffs, you lose in the wild card game or something, then you're going to go, man, really missed opportunity here to rebuild the farm system. I think the Royals are going to be looking for shopping partners throughout the season, up until the trade deadline. I think they're going to be looking for alternatives to Moustakas and Hosmer that provide more club control and upside. And I don't even hate that. I think we could see maybe less farm system building and or some farm system rebuilding along with major league players. But Chelsea Cuthbert's not a bad third baseman. It's not. He's not Mike Moustakas. I really like Mike Moustakas. But it's also working within your means. And I'm afraid that right now the Royals are a piece or two away from being good enough to really make a run. And so saying that they end with 85 wins is basically me saying I think they're average and they're not bad enough to get their guys traded before the deadline. They're too good for a fire sale, but they're not good enough to be a playoff team or at least to be a contender. And I really hope that's not how it plays out, but that's the gut feeling that I have here on April 2nd. Now, if Jorge Soler comes back from the DL and he becomes like a premier power bat, then that could change everything. If Moustakas and or Hosmer have career years up against a new contract coming for them, that could change all of it. If Danny Duffy is a Cy Young contender and Ian Kennedy bounces back, as I think he will, by the way. I think Ian Kennedy is going to have a nice year. But if Danny Duffy is a Cy Young contender, Kennedy bounces back, and Hamill and Vargas can hold their own and be an advantage against other teams' threes and fours, well, then all of a sudden, you're not even thinking about the trade deadline. You're thinking about, how can we re-sign Hosmer? How can we maximize our potential this season? But right now, I think there are a few too many factors that aren't quite within reach that the Royals would really have to hit on. But you know, they say that's why they play the games. And I think that's what's going to make it interesting. The Royals are going to be a fun team to watch this year, if for nothing other than trying to figure out the potential of what they can be or what they'll be doing halfway through the season. Rollin Mondesi, also, if you missed it, he is starting at second base. He is the second baseman for this team, and Ned Yost is not expecting him to be a hitter. He's expecting him to bunt and to steal when he gets on and to be an absolute spider at second base, just catching everything that goes through his web. I hope that works out. I like to think that Escobar and Mondesi at shortstop and second are going to make it really hard to let anything up the middle. But I'm also thinking that at some point relatively early on in the season, we're going to start to get real sick of seeing Rollin Mondesi strike out or ground out and wonder why we can't get Chelsea Cuthbert to play some second, or even Christian Colon for that matter. That's the fear that I have. But I am also looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to this baseball season just about as much as I've looked forward to any Royals season, certainly right up there with ones in recent memory. I just have some questions. I'm sorry if you thought this show was a real downer. I didn't think it was. I had a great time. I always have a great time talking to you here on Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Joshua Briscoe. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. If you have any feedback on today's show, any thoughts, anything you'd like to get into my head about, I will always try to get back to you. Thank you to Charlie Carlin, who is at CCarlinKC on Twitter. Booyah, first try. He's in here DJing, running the show from the other side of the glass, scratching those records. As far as I know, we'll be back next Sunday, same time, 9 in the noon, to talk about the Royals getting off to a terribly slow start, or hopefully proving me terribly, terribly wrong. Bye, Mom!